I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. David Wilson joins me again. The artist's new exhibition of paintings, Everywhere From Here, begins the 24th of October and runs until the 5th of November on Granville Island. 1387 Railspur Alley is the address. And there will be a public opening Saturday the 26th with the artist in attendance. That's from 2 to 4 p.m. David has been known for depicting the urban scene in his work, especially the changing city. In this new exhibition, he turns to what surrounds Vancouver and looks first to the lions, those peaks that have meant so much to the folklore, history, and geography of this place. It's a beautiful work, as are the pieces that depict the changing seasons and the downtown Vancouver that he captures so well. Visit davidwilson.ca for a preview of his new works. Please welcome back to the Plant Online program, David Wilson. Mr. Wilson, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me again.
Nice to see you.
It's good to see you as well.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up the coast in a town called Pell River.
And how did you end up in Vancouver?
Well, I grew up in a small town, but I was always a city boy at heart, and we just ended up here 25 years ago. And, it was just a natural place to end up.
I probably asked you these questions before, so you'll forgive me. I'm assuming that the people listening to us haven't, so I'm asking.
Yeah,
if I ask questions again that I've asked you, that's the reason why. Powell Rivers is a small community.
It is, yeah. It's a small town.
It's a beautiful town, though, in some parts, isn't it?
Yes.
But being fascinated by the city, I guess that's easy to do when you're in a small town, isn't it?
Well, it's hard because Powell River is an isolated community, so it's a 6-hour trip to get to Vancouver. So if you are interested in the city, it's a bit of a frustration to have to go through those.
You can't do it in a day, right?
No, you can't just pop on the boat or drive in. So it was a bit of a frustration living up there.
And so when you came to Vancouver, first of all, growing up, did you always want to be an artist?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Once I realized what an artist was, I thought, yeah, for sure, this is what I wanted to do.
And the sort of work that you're doing now, is that what you could have imagined as a kid wanting to do, say?
No, because I grew up in a small town, when I first started painting, I was drawn to the natural world, painting lakes and the ocean and such, and the forest. And those were my first subject matters. But moving to the city, that's where my real interest in developing the artistic career developed.
So your career thus far, you're known as an urban chronicler through your work. And I think that's very important because I think art lasts longer than people talking on the radio or photographs even and the sort.
Sure.
And it takes on a greater meaning in terms of how you interpret the city. And when you do your work as you do, and you depict the city as you do, and you see how it's changed, as someone who looks at your work, I can't help but see how you feel about how the city's changed.
It's good.
And so, when you start a piece, do you go with that? Is that in your mind as you start, say, depicting whatever it is that you want to?
Trying to depict a sensation?
Yeah,
for sure. Like the lions, the one that you're talking about. I thought about that painting for probably 5-6 months before I actually painted it. I'm trying to. I mean, you can photograph a subject, I think there's some amazing photographers out there that can do brilliant work, and that's not what I do. I'm not trying to represent a snapshot. Like this, the painting takes a number of hours for me to sit down or stand up and create. And there's a whole lot of thought that goes into the actual painting. And then the things I'm thinking about, things I'm considering as I'm painting, go into the painting as well. Often I'll insert text in there, and it's hard to see it. You have to look for it, or you might not even be able to find it, or it's underneath another layer. So, there's a lot of different thoughts and ideas and process that goes into creating a work. So I'm happy to hear that it does evoke some sort of feeling for you.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess this is the front piece for this exhibition, The Lions. I mean, it is as I said in the introduction, these are peaks that have meant so much to the folklore, to the history of this part of the world. And we use it on a regular basis in terms of orienting ourselves, knowing where we are and trying to find where, you know, where north is. It's inevitably where we look,
sure.
Right? Where you were, I know you work in a studio.
Yes.
At home, right?
Yeah.
So how does this come to your mind in terms of are you looking at a photograph that you've taken from this vantage point and then bringing that into your studio and putting that on the canvas?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and so how much time do you spend in front of the lines at this vantage point?
Not very much.
Really?
No, it's like, how this unfolds is, as I'm going out, as you're saying, you know, you orient yourself with either the ocean or the mountains in Vancouver. And I've often looked at the mountains and thought, at some point I want to paint these mountains. So I was trying to photograph them from Clark Drive, and it just wasn't attaining what I wanted to achieve from that vantage point. So I was going to go up to the Cleveland Dam, and I know you can see it from there.
Yeah.
And take some photographs up there. And being the lazy person, not lazy, I just didn't have the time.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'll Google online and come up with a photograph. And someone had this, I don't know, maybe it was on Instagram, I don't recall exactly where it was, but I found this photograph taken from the Cleveland Dam, and it was of the lake and all the surrounding country. I didn't want any of that, so I took a small section of a photo, like this big.
Yeah.
And use that as a reference. It wasn't, you know, by the time I blew it up, it wasn't a very good reference, but there's so many historical photos of the lions that I was able to refer to some of those as well. Which is really interesting to me, because these historical photos, you know, and the most recent ones, the lions don't look any different. You know, the geography of it don't look any different. So I printed out a few photographs of it and took it to my studio and used those as reference points.
And I mentioned to you before we started, just the detail, the tremendous detail in this piece. It's called From Here, right?
That painting, yes.
Yeah. And as you just said, it hasn't changed over the years. And so one wonders then, I guess the fear that we all have, is what of it will change in the future?
Well, I suppose that they can go up there and cut the trees down, but I'm hopeful that wouldn't happen. I don't imagine most of those trees are worth cutting down to turn the lumber anyway. But, I think outside of a major earthquake, I can't imagine them changing that dramatically. Like they've been, I did a bit of research on the history of the geological history, and, they've been there for a long time.
It's like things like Joffrey Lake, for example, which I've never been to.
No.
But, we've all seen it on the internet and what that's turned into.
Hmm.
One worries that these bucolic places that we know that are so close to us, could turn into less than pleasant places to be at.
Well, I think they're hard to access, so that's a built-in protective measure for the mountains. I was talking to a person today, and he was saying that it's a 4-hour hike in and a 4-hour hike out. So
it's not very touristy, is it?
No, it's definitely off the beaten path. It says it's a nice hike, but it's a long way, so that's definitely something that's going to protect them from decimation of any sort.
So we're looking, and another piece that'll be on exhibit there at on Granville Island is All I Want, and that's like a southbound on Granville.
That's right.
And why is it called All I Want?
There's often the titles I assign to paintings, they come up as I'm painting, and I often forget what I'm thinking about, but I do think that the words "all I want," trying to do this sort of personal recall. Why would I title it that way? And both my wife and daughter both have chronic illnesses, and I often, I'm thinking about them often as I'm painting, and I insert a lot of the text of my paintings into these paintings, and one of the greatest things in our lives would be for them to be able to have good health, and they do have good health.
Yeah.
To see a cure for type 1 diabetes and that sort of thing. Like that's that for me. That's all I want.
Yeah.
I'm happy with I'd be really happy with that.
So you'll forgive me again as I just attempt to describe this piece for people listening to us. It's Granville and Robson looking south, and then you can see the Orpheum and the Vogue.
That's right.
And then venue, I guess that's a nightclub.
Yes.
And it's a typical Vancouver scene.
Yes.
The ground's wet.
Yes.
And the lights are up. And it captures so much of, I mean, I don't get there very often. I get there probably 3-4 times a year.
Okay.
But this is it. You know, this is for me. This is how I think of that place.
Good.
Throughout
nice.
The year. When you depict scenes like that, I remember the last time I talked to you, you had a work that was on Main and 12th or something like that, or Main and 16th area.
Okay.
These are places that you've obviously been, hung out at.
Yeah.
And the memories that you have of these places are generally pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I've lived here for as long as I have. You know, I generally enjoy living in Vancouver.
Well, we complain about it a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
And rightfully so, because it is bloody expensive. And
it's not cheap.
And, you know, there were problems. But then I was thinking about it as I was writing my notes for today. Whatever city one lives in, it's not perfect, is it? And there's always something to complain about.
Yeah, there's always something to be frustrated with. I think when the sun comes out here, though, we're thinking, oh my God, this is a glorious place to live. I think that the weather can be a thing that gets people down, for sure. I think that's part of the appeal to my work, is that, you know, I often depict the rainy streets, and it's a bit of a surprise to people to say, oh yeah, you know, it's not so bad. I think unconsciously, subconsciously we think about these things, and it's not as bad as we think, but it does pile up after 3 or 4 weeks of constant rain, that it becomes a bit of a frustration.
So the last couple of weeks for me, it's been odd, and I didn't know what it was that was bothering me, and I just come back from vacation. Vacation was fun.
Yeah.
And you know, the summer had just ended, and here we are going to September, going into fall, and you know, it was a bit of unease. I don't think it was just what was in the news that was bothering me.
Yeah.
And then I realized as I was looking through pieces for this exhibition that because you depict the changing of the seasons,
right,
that this time, going from summer to fall, has really affected me. And I know there's a name for that, a clinical term, but I don't suffer from that, or am affected by that. But there is something that I've been thinking about as the seasons change, this time around more than any other year.
Yeah.
That's something that you depict in your work, and so is that something that you think about a lot?
Oh, for sure. I think that's, you know, I often have my exhibitions in the fall, and I like the fall because it is a transitional moment that it really is very pronounced in the marking of the changing from one season to the next.
Yeah. It's a great time of year, isn't it?
Well, it's a beautiful time of year. I mean, it's lovely. You know, but you do see all the trees, the colors of the trees, they start to change, and the leaves fall off into the ground. So it's very dramatic. And you know, winter arrives with snow. Like that's the really pronounced change in seasons in winter. But fall is very, it's traditionally a very gentle sort of transitional time of year here. And I think what you're describing is how it just went bang.
Yeah.
Changed from one season to another.
I hate the summer because it's too hot.
Yeah.
And I've always liked autumn. I've always liked fall because it's cooler and it's still bright out. And, you know,
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this time I've missed the heat.
Yeah. Well, I think that we traditionally were sort of eased into the cold, but this time we were not. It was just very abrupt.
And so exhibiting in the fall as you have over the years, what's that like for you? I mean, do you work towards, say, that all these pieces have to be done by, say, beginning of September or whatever?
Yeah, I'm still working on it right
now.
Yeah, it makes for busy summers. Yeah, they're trying to have everything ready for the fall. Summers are traditionally quite full of work.
And so how do you know when a piece is done?
That's a good, you know, that's an interesting question. I often think, you know, is it done or is it not? So often what I'll do is I'll take a painting to a point where I basically don't want to look at it anymore. I think there's nothing I can add to it. And I'll put it off to the side for, you know, 4 or 5 days, a couple of weeks, and then I'll pull it back out and take a look at it. And sometimes there's something I need to add to it, and sometimes there's not. And once I have answered those questions, I know it's done.
And do you ever go back to a piece a year or so, more even,
yes,
and look at it and say,
yes,
really?
Yes, there's a couple of pieces in this exhibition that I painted 3 or 4 years ago, and I pulled them out of storage and looked at them, and I thought, there's more I need to say here, and more I need to add, and I added some gold leaf to it, which is something I've never done before, and I'm really happy I did it, and some other elements to it, some more details, and some more, again, text, and now they make me happy.
Yeah, and because your work is often sold to people, to organizations and the sort, how does that feel in terms of having to give up a piece? Is that easy?
Well, because I do it for a living, so
yeah,
it's easy because there's an exchange that takes place.
Right.
So
yeah.
That's my paycheck, so I'm happy to get a paycheck. But sometimes there's paintings that I let go. I think, I'd like to have hung on to that, but it's what I do.
Yeah, I guess you don't, once the transaction is completed, you don't have a say into how it's displayed or something like that, right?
No, but the work is, you know, they can do whatever they want with it as far as hanging it, but they can't reproduce the work. There's always copyrights associated.
Yeah.
You can't reproduce an artist's work without their consent.
So if it's just hanging in a corporate office or something like that, and they want to have their board photograph, you'd have a say.
But as far as reproductions, as far as like a poster or a print or something like that, but it's no, and it's very gratifying that people would spend as much as they do on my paintings. You know, that means a lot to me. It allows me to continue doing what I do.
And so, how do you have a scrapbook is a silly word, but do you have a database, say, of all your works over the years, and
like a portfolio? I maintain a portfolio of current work. I've produced over 1,000 paintings,
yeah.
So I don't. You know, I know I've lost track of all of some of them, but I think maybe I keep a mental list of what I've done.
Yeah. Some of the early stuff, do you keep that, or is it gone elsewhere? Say.
Yeah, I do have a few. I've sold most. I mean, everything I paint, I sell.
Yeah.
I do have a few. Just trying to think what I have. Yeah, I do have a few from, 20 years ago.
And so, when you look at something that you've done 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember where you were, and not just physically, but mentally, in terms of when
sometimes.
You? Yeah.
Sometimes I can remember actually painting certain portions of the painting. It's really interesting to look at a painting at times and think about what I was doing at that time, where I was painting it.
Yeah.
Once in a while, yeah, it's kind of a bit eerie, actually.
Yeah, yeah, I'll bet, because it's it takes on a life of its own for people viewing it,
yeah.
But for the artist, it's himself.
Yeah.
I would think that there's something, there's obviously something there that those of us who look at your work will never see.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, for sure. Because there's definitely, as I'm painting, it's typically quite quiet. Once in a while I'll listen to music, but often it's quiet. And so it's me, the canvas, and my thoughts. And sometimes, in any life you have moments that are super relaxing. Sometimes you have moments of stress. Sometimes you have great emotional moments in life. Sometimes you're just exhausted. So all of that is, occurring as I'm painting. And there are significant moments in life where I'm having to, it's still my job. I have to be out there painting. And the canvas, those strokes of paint on the canvas mark those moments for sure.
And the pressure in terms of your work, is that working towards, say, October 24th, when this has to be up and mounted on a wall, say, on Granville Island?
Yeah, no, there's definitely pressure to get it done. It's like, I don't want to put work out that is not the best that it can be.
Yeah.
So it means I have to put a lot of time and energy into it, and as I get closer, obviously, I start running out of time, so there's definitely, the pressure starts to build.
The name of this exhibition is Everywhere From Here, and as I told you before we started, it's a beautiful title.
Thank you.
Because that's really what this place is for a lot of people. You can get anywhere from here.
Yeah.
Go anywhere from here. Everywhere. Not just, I mean, you mentioned a moment ago, you can go from the ocean to the mountains in, what, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
And then you can go around the world from here.
Exactly.
When you think of a titling an exhibition as you do, in this case, Everywhere From Here, what does that mean for you?
Well, I think it's a lot of what you're describing. Like it's, and I think it's interesting that you would infer that, because the painting of the mountains, the idea behind this painting was to use those as a reference, as a reference point. So you would look down from, you know, figuratively, you'd look down from the mountains onto the city, and each location that I've painted in this exhibition is, you can see, you know, Everywhere From Here, you can see these places. But it's also, it's an idea that you just, as you described it, you know, I think that as a Vancouverite, as people that live in the city here, we are somewhat isolated here, you know, by the mountains, by the ocean, we're kind of cut off. But you can go everywhere from here, and I like that idea. I like the idea of that sort of openness. And I'm really happy that you actually, you know, that's something that you drew from it.
The other thing that I was thinking about as I was thinking, pondering the title,
yeah,
is we could go everywhere in terms of how the city changes.
Yeah.
I mean, we could become a metropolis, or we could become, you know, yeah, I doubt we could go back to being a small town again, but... you know, you could probably harness it for the next 25 years to staying the way it is.
Yeah.
So that idea of where we go, I mean, you've always heard that term world-class city.
Yes.
That's always been bandied about, usually by marketers or politicians. but, you know, that's an idea that a lot of us have of ourselves and,
sure,
and this place as well.
Well, I think it's an open-ended question, you know, like, where do you want to go? You can go anywhere. Everywhere. And I think that, you know, the city is definitely, you know, I see the changes all the time as I paint. You know, I'll be painting a scene that's familiar to me, and then as I'm going through it, I'll realize, oh, there's a new building. I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
That's not been in the composition before. Yeah, it can go anywhere.
Yeah. In terms of your own feelings about the city, I mean, I've asked you this before, and because it's so expensive, and because it, you know, it can become unpleasant at times. What keeps you here?
Well, you know, this is where I've been for the last 25 years, because I have some lovely friends. We've developed our businesses around this city. I like it here. I like the change of seasons. I love summers here. I love the fall. Spring is amazing. Winters, it's not too harsh. There's good people here. There's good places to eat. You know, there's no shortage of things. It's this nice small city, and it's, you know, you're in New York. I love New York. New York is an amazing place. It's pretty intense.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not for the faint of heart here. It's, we live in Mount Pleasant. We're 10 minutes from downtown. You know, I can go sit in the backyard in the,
yeah,
evening, and it's, you know, it's quiet. It's,
yeah,
it's an amazing place.
And you're someone who gets around, gets to travel different places like New York and the sort. We've talked in the past about what that's like for you, and just a surfeit of galleries and the sort. I mean, as,
yeah,
an artist, that must recharge your batteries.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's pretty rich there.
Yeah.
Nothing like anywhere else.
And that you go to the galleries here, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And you have the same feeling in terms of...
Yeah, it's just like the concentration of, and like it's almost like an overdose of art,
yeah,
in New York.
Everything is intense there.
Isn't it? And it's just so much. It's just like it's like a cornucopia of art.
You can only have a little bit of it, I think, because then it's just too much to handle.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that experience we had at the Louvre the first time we were there.
Yeah.
Walking through it, and it's just like, I had to stop. I just,
yeah,
had to stop. We had to stop doing gallery hops because it was just so much to absorb. Couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah, I interviewed Julian Porter, the libel lawyer, and he's a great art aficionado, and he wrote a book with Stephen Grant, who's one of Canada's foremost divorce attorneys.
Okay.
And they wrote a book, and I forget the title now. It's the paintings you need to see.
Oh, okay.
Because you can skip the rest. It's a clever, it's a too cute by half title, yeah. But it's a good guide in terms of if you do go to the Met or you go to the Frick,
yeah.
There are things that you have to see.
Yes.
Like if you're at the Louvre, you have to see the Mona Lisa, right?
Yeah.
Whether you want to or not, it's something you have to see, right?
Absolutely.
So when you go, obviously you're looking at these paintings a little bit differently than, say, the rest of us.
Sometimes.
When you see, whether it's Da Vinci or it's other people that you like, say.
Yes.
What is it that you're looking for that you might take away and bring back to, say, your own studio as you're working?
You know what? It's when I look at other artists' work, whose work I admire, I often look at it and say, you know, how did they do that? How did they achieve it? And it's the process that they go through in order to create that work. That's what makes the work. Like the process is really the most important part, I think, of being an artist is, you know, that developing taking. This idea of the mountains and how will I execute that into this painting that I'm happy with, that I can visualize in my head, and so that the painting is the end result of this process. It's like anything.
Yeah.
And so when I go look at a painting, I try to understand how their process unfolded.
Yeah, the piece that I saw at the Met that fascinated me was, I guess it's one of Da Vinci's last, or it was unfinished, I should say.
Yes.
And so you see parts of it that are extremely detailed in how they look done, you know?
Yes.
And then parts of the canvas are, I don't know if it's pencil or whatever it is that he's used to sketch out, and it's you can see the canvas because it isn't. And you look close enough, you can see the strokes of the brush.
That's pretty cool.
And, I mean, you see that whenever you look at something, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Those brush strokes are quite... It's like the artist's hand was there.
Yeah,
it's a very tactile thing to see where that artist's hand was, and so I can almost place my hand there and just understand what it was he was doing there, and it's quite a fabulous experience.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, I saw a couple of pieces of Emily Carr's.
Yes,
at the public library here in Vancouver, and you know, we all have our perceptions of who she was and what she did, and the sword, and
sure.
You know, she was, you know, a unique person to say the least. And to see where her hand was, and you can see, you know, that she labored on a certain stroke,
yeah.
Or not. You know, something you could see is very abrupt.
Yeah.
You get lost in these things.
Yeah. Yeah, you can really spend a lot of time staring at just one painting. That's what I think I find exhausting with places like the Louvre. Like you're trying to go through this whole process for each painting, and your brain can only take so much.
Yeah, that's what Porter and Grant say, that if you go to a certain gallery, you can only look at, say, 15, 20 pieces.
Yeah,
because then you just get overwhelmed. So what is it like for you when you're in New York or you're in Paris at the Met or the Louvre? How long do you spend, say, at a place like that?
Well, as long as I can, you know, like it's because it's so far away.
Right.
I want to maximize my time there. But, you know, I remember the first time at the Louvre, we were probably there for 6 or 7 hours, and I was exhausted, mentally exhausted, physically exhausted by the whole experience. But it's fantastic. You know, it's like it's well worth the exhaustion.
Well, who were the artists that you grew up looking at and admiring, say? I don't know, some maybe you wanted to emulate even?
Yeah, I mean, Hopper was definitely one of my big influences from the beginning. I really loved his work and how he created this film-like imagery. And, you know, film was always a big influence on me, too, for a long time. You know, especially the noir genre. That was just very moody, and I really liked that. And then when I was in New York, especially... being exposed to artists like Cy Twombly and some Kiefer, and their work was like, it's monumental, it's huge, it's beautiful, lovely work, and just how they would use different, like Kiefer especially would use different materials that not paint, and you know, he'd use his use of lead and ash and straw and these other materials. It was really interesting to me that this guy could create these massive works of art without actual paint, and still create the same sensation that you would have in the paint, but even more interesting because I want to go in there and feel how this feels. Cy Twombly, his work was, I hate using that word fascinating, but for me it was very fascinating because it's such an overused word, but it's, he said so much with so little, and then he would infuse text into his work as well. And, it's beautiful, just stunningly beautiful.
It's like Colville, Alex Colville. Mm. Like, I look at some of his pieces, and I think they're odd-looking.
Why is that?
I don't see people stand the way that he depicts them sometimes, and I find that peculiar. Huh. But then, I'm looking at that piece for longer than, you know what I mean? And so that's got me thinking about him and why he does what he does or what it is I'm actually looking at.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's remarkable how something that I may not like even.
Sure, yeah.
Has caused me to think about it a great deal.
Well, it draws you in, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, I think that's something about paintings that not every painting will do it, but there's, some of the masters like Colville would certainly draw you into it and make you consider what it is you're looking at.
Yeah, and Amy mentioned Hopper, and there's certain colors that he uses that I've never seen anyone else use.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're almost unpleasant sometimes. Like some of these greens that he uses are just look like vomit. Yeah, but yet it's so him.
Yeah, it's like that's his personality, and I remember reading a bit about him, and I don't, I think he was perhaps a bit of an odd duck.
Yeah.
Lots of art. Most artists are. Most of us are strange folk. But
how strange are you, David?
I hope I'm not that strange. But I'm sure. Ask my wife; she'll give you a better answer.
The your work is connected so deeply with viewers. I remember I told you the story. I was in a coffee shop on Pacific and. Was it Pacific? No, it's in your Granville and Pacific there underneath the bridge. And they had one of your pieces up. This is about 10 years ago. This is before I even knew you.
Okay.
Or knew your wife. And I remember I think it was Granville Street. There was another Granville Street piece of yours.
Okay.
And I remember something was off. And I was waiting for my sandwich.
Yeah.
And ended up looking at this piece for 5-7 minutes, and much longer even after I got my food, because there was something off about it geographically.
Okay.
And yet, then I realized, there was a point to it. I think that you had one building on one side of the street as opposed to another. I think that's what it was, or something like that. But I mean, or the sign was wrong, or something like that. But I mean, that's the kind of work that fascinates a person, right?
And
that draws them in as a viewer.
Yeah, I mean, my paintings aren't meant to be literal representations of a given subject. Like, it's, I could make them that way if I chose to, but I used to paint that way, but I don't want to anymore. It's more, I want these paintings to be a representation of the subject, but also of what's going through my mind at the moment or my life at that time. And I edit, I'll add things in, I'll take things out.
Yeah. Like in this piece, All I Want, you've taken out a lot of the trolley lines.
That's right.
Because even if in the middle of if you're where one is here at Robson,
that's right.
It's probably more trolley lines.
Oh, there's lots more. Yeah.
And so, is there something that you're trying to say when you edit something?
Sometimes I'll find the trolley, like I have a yellow painting of Granville Street, and I've eliminated all the trolley lines because there's something I want to insert into the painting aside from those trolley lines. Like
they also seem higher than they actually are in real life.
Yeah, I didn't want them to crowd that little white or that light space just above the bridge. I wanted that space to sort of glow. The yellow one, I took them all out because I liked the yellow sort of almost on fire type of sky, and I didn't want the trolley lines to interfere with that.
So you meant to draw the viewer's eye elsewhere, but unfortunately, my eye has been drawn to that. But at the same time, I can see, because once you've eliminated it going south towards the bridge.
Well, they're there, but they're just very faint.
They're faint, but I mean, it also suggests that you're going into a very different place beyond that.
Exactly. And it is. It's like I want it to be an open space within this enclosed sort of downtown cityscape.
It makes you feel like you shouldn't go down that way.
Maybe. No, I think it's pretty good down there.
Yeah.
It's certainly a different downtown than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. I mean, you know, the places south of the I guess it's north of the foot of the bridge, it has changed a great deal, and you'd hear about these things in the news. Yeah. But it's probably a place now that's probably safe to go to now, right?
Oh, it is, yeah. Yeah. I had a studio in Gastown, maybe 10, 12 years ago, and that was before the Woodward's building came down and they built up the new one. And it wasn't a tough neighborhood, but it certainly was a gritty neighborhood. And I liked it. You know, I really liked it. You know, the people that were there, they're down on their luck, or you know, life is not easy for them. But I enjoyed it. And then when they built the new tower there, the whole dynamic of the area changed, and I didn't like it anymore.
So where you work, does that affect the work itself?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I just got so fed up with being in that part of the city after a while.
It's a lot louder than where you are now, probably. Less noisy, I should say.
Yeah, no, where I am now, I work from home right now. I'm actually taking a new space in 1000 Parker. But, I just found the environment is one thing, but it was just that as new people moved in, there was less respect for the people that previously existed in that area, and it was just not a kind neighborhood anymore.
It says something about Vancouver too, doesn't it?
It does.
Regardless of what neighborhood one lives in, I think that's what a lot of people feel, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's as the city changed, I mean, we're bound by the ocean, by the mountains, so there's no room to expand the city, so they only have the land that we're allotted here, and so that, you know, it's inevitable that we'll have greater concentrations of people.
Yeah.
But there's someone that's always existed there prior to your arrival, and I've just found that lack of respect for people in that neighborhood was just hard to be around.
Yeah. What you studied at Emily Carr, is that right?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah. Not a lot.
What does that teach you about the work that you do? I mean, are there things that you come away with, regardless of how long you spend, say, at an institution?
Yeah, no, I think that it teaches one to just sort of step outside of your comfort zone. You know, like it's very easy to do the same thing over and over and over again without really expanding your approach to it. And school was definitely good for that.
Well, was it there that you realized that you could do this for a living, sir?
I was studying while I was trying to do this for a living. So, this is something I've been working towards for, you know, since I graduated from high school. I spent a lot of time working on it on my own as a prior to going to school. And then I went to school to just enhance my abilities and to just take it to a different level.
It seems that school is used for a lot of people, not for the development of skills, but for networking nowadays.
Yeah,
is that the same with art schools and sort?
I think so. I mean, because I didn't graduate from college. I'm not a graduate of Emily Carr, so I think that was something that I would have benefited from had I done so. But
I'm the same way. I graduate from UBC, and so I think I've lost a lot of those, you know, that sort of relationship that one has with an institution.
I agree, yeah.
But again, at the same time, does one need that? Not really. I mean, you've had a tremendous rewarding career.
Yeah, I think it might have made things easier, but I think in some ways it's probably made things better. I don't know.
Yeah. Your work is connected with viewers so deeply.
Thanks.
And it, these works will certainly outlive you.
So.
50 years hence, 100 years hence, what do you want people to know about you when they look at your work?
That's a good question. You know, I what do I want them to know about me?
Because you mentioned a moment ago that you've inserted, you know, feelings, obviously,
yeah.
Text, your family,
yeah.
People around you in these pieces. But there's something else that you want, that you put into these things.
Well, you know, I think what I like about what I do, and I think what I like about how people respond to the work is that they see themselves in it. And I think that if people can look at my work, you know, 50 years from now, and see themselves reflected in it a little bit, then they'll understand a little bit about who I am as a person, because they'll see, you know, the similarities that that exist.
And then they'll see this place as it once was, right? Or what
exactly.
It could be even.
Yeah, I hope it stays somewhat the same. I think Vancouver is averse to change, so I don't expect it to change that dramatically in the next 50 years, but who's to say?
So everywhere from here is described as a pop-up.
That's correct.
You've exhibited in private galleries in the past. How is this That's different right. than that?
Well, this is my first pop-up exhibition, so I've not done this before. Galleries seem to be closing here on a regular basis, and I was with a local gallery here, and that gallery is no longer exists. And so I thought, you know, I can go through the process of trying to nail down another gallery and have them represent my work, or I can just pull together an exhibition for myself and try this out and see how it works. And so we're giving us a good run, we'll see how it goes.
And so people can go down there between the 24th and the 5th of November.
That's right.
And you'll be there for part of it as well, right?
Well, because we're doing this, I'm doing it with my wife, we're doing it together.
Yeah.
I'll be there the bulk of the time. We have to be there 7 days a week from 11 till 6 p.m. So I'll be there, and once in a while I may have to step out, but for the most part I'll be there for 2 weeks straight.
So people can go there and view the work.
Right.
There's no admission.
No.
And people can talk to you about,
Absolutely.
You know. Can people buy this stuff too?
Absolutely. That's the purpose of it, is that work will be for sale. And I'll probably at some point set up a little station so I can actually paint. So there's an opportunity for people to come down and see me working as well.
So are you someone that can work anywhere?
No. It's hard for me. So this will be an experience for me to try and make this work for me.
By the way, I was looking at these two pieces on the invitation
yes.
that you gave me. One is 60 by 60.
That's right.
One is 72 by 54.
Yes.
Do you, when you start a piece, do you know how big it'll be, say?
Yeah. I mean, most of the time they start off as an idea, and I adjust the idea to the size of the canvas I want to paint on. So they're all pre-stretched canvases, and they have fixed edges.
You mentioned we going to 1000 Parker shortly.
Yes.
That's a great, from my understanding, it's a hub of artists like yourself that will be able to work from there, right?
That's right.
Yeah. And there are pockets of these places, like where I work on Main and First there, around
okay.
there.
There's
a number of galleries and artist spaces and the sort. And I understand, too, that the city parks, you know, where the houses, some of those are being used
yes,
now.
That's right.
As,
yeah, the field houses. Yeah.
At one point, it's a terrible time to live in the city, but another, there's great venues for one to do their work, right?
Yeah, I mean, artists are a bit like cockroaches. Okay? They need to thrive. If you can't get rid of them, and they do their best to find a place to make it work, and they'll work in hovels
yeah.
if you have to.
And so you will, when you're on Granville Island, you will try to work there too, right?
I will. Yeah, I need to.
Yeah.
I have lots of work to do.
Did you find that you have, that you need, like, let's say your calendar's clear and you don't have an exhibition to work towards.
Yeah.
Do you find that you can put everything away, put your tools away and not do anything?
Yes.
For a while?
Yes. Yeah.
And then is there a need to do it at one point?
Yeah, I mean, I can put it away and stop after about a week. I start to get a bit antsy and want
yeah.
to get back to it. But after this run of exhibition preparation, I'll be ready for a short break, and it'll be welcomed.
You don't walk around with a sketchbook and a pencil and doodle, because some artists do that.
Yeah, they know some do. Yeah, and I used to, but I don't anymore.
Yeah. No. What do you think changed then?
My iPhone. You know, I can do so much with my phone now.
Yeah.
I can generate so much of my creative concepts within my phone. It's just amazing what I can do with it now.
Just imagine if Da Vinci had one. Well, I guess he did have one in his head.
Yeah, he didn't need one. Amazing. But no, I'd say, I mean, I like drawing, but it's like, I've never been a real drawer. I like painting. That is where my passions lie. And so the iPhone, I can take a photograph, I can put it through some apps and make some adjustments to it, and I can actually almost create not the painting, but the concept that I want to work with,
yeah,
within my phone. So it's just the immediacy of it. So nice.
We've talked about artists that you like, artists that I like, and the sort.
Yes.
The artists that you don't like, what is it about their? I mean, you don't have to give us names, but I mean, what is it about their work that you don't like? I mean, because we're also talking also about,
sure,
the artist and who they are as people.
Sure.
And having to separate the two, and some people are obviously don't want to separate the,
yeah,
two, and so that obviously puts their artwork in a different light. For you, what is it about the artists that you don't like that I guess defines why you don't like them?
Yeah, well, you know, there's artists whose work I like that I think as a person they're not
sure,
awesome, right?
Yeah.
But I love their work.
Yeah. It's like movies, right, and filmmakers,
yeah, exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. But there's artists whose work I don't like. I just look at it sometimes and I think, I wouldn't even want to do that. Like, it's just, I'm not interested in how you did it. I wouldn't want to know how you did it. And it's, most often, they're just not very good painters.
And so are those painters or those artists who, say, cut corners and who are sloppy or...
I just don't think they have... I mean, it sounds awful. I was having this chat with Marnie the other day, but I just don't think they're very good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and so why do you think it is that they've done as well as they have? Because I mean, when we study art in school, elementary school or high school, we're told that there's really no bad art. Did they take that to heart?
I mean, they probably have. I think sometimes artists have these great careers just because they're in the right place at the right time and circumstances dictate it. I've come across artists whose work I think is absolutely brilliant, but they are not in the public eye because they're just, you know, timing is,
yeah,
is often not everything, but it's a lot.
Yeah, because we hear that a lot. You know, kids are told that there's no bad art, but then
it sounds elitist, but I really do think there's some bad art out there.
Yeah, this has been such a pleasure to talk to you about your work. It's work that I've admired over the years.
Thanks, sir.
And give my best to Marnie.
Do that.
For people listening to this, Marnie is a terrific publicist in Vancouver. I talk to her more often than I talk to people I'm related to via email, because we're always booking guests and the sort, and she's always wonderful. And I will say this about your wife. I didn't mean to mention this, but I've done this a while. This is the 16th year I've done this. And so I've talked to a lot of people over the years. And so I know generally when...
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to certain people, and not certain people, but there's certain things that I won't,
yeah,
do because I just don't think I'm the right person. You go to Quinn,
sure,
Stephen will talk to them, or Gloria. But she's a marvelous publicist in that there's certain things that she's pitched, and I've said, I don't think I can, I don't want to, I really don't think I can talk to that sort of artist or that sort of person.
Yeah.
And she has a hell of a lot more faith in me than I do. And this has happened twice in the last little while,
huh,
where I've talked to people and it's turned out to be just wonderful conversations because she knew that I could do it. And so you will give her my best.
I will. I appreciate that.
It's nice to see you again, David.
You as well. Thank you.
Visit davidwilson.ca for more information. Everywhere from here, New Works by David Wilson is at 1387 Railspur Alley on Granville Island. That's the 24th of October through to the 5th of November. The hours are from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily or by appointment. The opening reception is Saturday, the 26th of October. That's from 2 to 4 p.m. David Wilson, join me in person here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.